The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, I have begun my summer vacation. I'm not there. I'm Hugh Hewitt. I am gone for 2 weeks with the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and a long, long overdue vacation. We call it the end of COVID vacation. But thankfully, Colonel Kurt Schlichter's in California and willing to get up early for this week. We got other people next week, but Colonel Kurt's covering this week. Take it away, Colonel Kurt Schlichter.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. I am Kurt Schlichter. I'm here in the Relief Factor studio in beautiful Southern California at, dark 30. And I got like an hour sleep. So I'm going to be a little bit punchy today, folks. I'm going to be a little bit punchy. And considering what we have to cover today, including the bizarre ramblings of our alleged president, it's probably good that I'm a little punchy. Holy cow. This is insane. Now, some of you are probably asking yourself, who is this guy? Who's this dude on the radio sitting in for the great Hugh Hewitt? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I am a noted Los Angeles trial lawyer. I'm a retired United States Army colonel. I am a senior columnist at townhall.com. You should go look at my article today. I got a new column up today, and it's magnificent. And it kind of talks about like the weird S&M bondage relationship between the press and Jen Psaki. So you'll want to check that out. Probably not safe for work, but you may want to check that out. I am also the author of a best-selling book. It was over the weekend number one in political fiction. It's called The Split. It is the sixth in the Kelly Turnbull series of conservative action novels. It's got guns. It's got liberal bashing. It's got crocodiles. It's got something for everybody, or at least everybody who's cool. And speaking of cool, it'd be cool if you called in, because we got a lot to talk about before we get to our guests in the later half of the show. We'll be talking to Senate candidate and former Army guy Sean Parnell, and of course everybody's friend and my PA homie, or homiette, I guess that's, I don't want to misgender, Selena Zito. But you should call me, 800-520-1234, 800-520-1234, because we're going to play What the Hell Did Joe Biden Just Say? But let me get to the rundown before I ask the musical question. What's that desiccated old weirdo talking about? A lot of stuff going on. Let's begin with Nancy Pelosi making what I think is a grave error. I think she, you always hear about Donald Trump destroyed the norms. Okay, Nancy Pelosi as speaker is wiping out all the customs, all the traditions of the House of Representatives, and she must pay. What she did is on this January 6th commission. And I got to tell you about January 6th, guys. I keep hearing how it's a giant riot and insurrection. Look, I was in the Los Angeles riots, fueled by Maxine Waters, noted Democrat. I was on the streets for 3 weeks with the 3rd Battalion, 160th Infantry. That's a riot. What happened on Capitol Hill was a frat party. Okay, no comparison. All right, and the only person killed on Capitol Hill was an unarmed trespasser veteran shot by a cop whose name we don't know. Dozens were murdered in Los Angeles. So, save your drama for your mama, because I'm not entertaining it. And Nancy Pelosi wants to have this kangaroo court commission, so she appoints Liz Cheney, nominal Republican, and now she's going to appoint Adam Kinzinger, the Renfield of the GOP caucus. But she's not allowing Kevin McCarthy to put Jim Banks, who's a big friend of the show, and Jim Jordan on the committee. She doesn't approve. She is picking who the Republicans can put on committees. This cannot stand. This has not happened before. Now, they stripped Marjorie Taylor Greene of her seats. And that was a bad precedent. But it's special. This is an emergency. We had to do it. If Kevin McCarthy doesn't retaliate, they've set a new standard. He needs, when he becomes a majority leader, he needs to, and in fact, he needs to announce it now. I'm going to strip all you Democrat committee chairs. You will not be the ranking member. You will not be on the committee. And I'm doing it to lay down a marker. After I do it, I'm willing to not do it again. I'm willing to go back to the old way, but you have to be punished. You have to learn. You have to learn a lesson. And sometimes you have to learn through pain. So let the chairs of these various committees go to Nancy Pelosi going, "What did you do? You monstrous harpy. What the hell did you do?" It's time to play hardball, folks. It's time to play hardball. Speaking of playing ball, this is my segue. Ted Lasso's out again, Section 2. So I really think that's what Hugh Hewitt's doing. I think Hugh Hewitt is not on vacation. I think he's binge-watching Ted Lasso because he's a big fan. I actually like the show, too. It's about soccer, though, which I'm not, you know, caring. And I especially don't care about American women's soccer. Now, people say, "Kurt, you're a patriot. You're a former Army guy. Why won't you stand up for America's team?" Because it isn't America's team, because they are literally not standing up for America. This kneeling stuff bothers the hell out of me. Okay? You're disrespecting my flag. You're disrespecting my national anthem. Okay? I carried that flag on my shoulder overseas, serving our country on two deployments. Now, I was no Dick Blumenthal. I was no Audie Buttigieg. All right? I ran a heavily armed car wash in Desert Storm. But, you know, I showed up. And my troops showed up. And it is an insult to me. And do not come to me and spit in my face and then expect my praise and support. It's not going to happen. The ratings for the Olympics, folks, have fallen to a 30-some year low, according to sources. And it is entirely the fault of the woke Olympics. People are tired of it. I can't tell. Look, I'm no sports ball guy. I don't like sports. I've got a lot of other things going on. You know, writing my columns, writing my books, you know, kicking it old school, the kind of, you know, other things. But there are people out there who love sports who have given them up because of this anti-American garbage. All right. Enough of that. 800-520-1234. Now we're going to play "What the Hell Did Joe Biden Say?" Cut 12.
Must it be a reconciliation?
What must be what?
Immigration. A pathway for citizenship.
There needs to be a pathway for citizenship. Whether it can be an immigration remains to be seen.
Okay.
That's full context.
What? That's full context. Let's give the quick cut.
13.
What must be what?
One more time.
What must be what?
Okay, I've got a thought about what that might be, and I'm not sure it's Salem friendly. People have speculated that he may be saying that. May sound a little vulgar. I'm going to say what they're speculating. Okay, my butt's been wiped. I just, yuck. Look, why am I doing this? Is this because to get a cheap, a cheap attack in on a creepy old pervert who shouldn't be president? Look, I wouldn't put that past me, but that's not it, folks. The dude is suffering from dementia. Okay, I mean, he just is, and I don't think we can. We can ignore the fact that the emperor is going commando.
He said something.
He said something. What the hell did he say? I mean,
it
sounds incoherent. If it's incoherent, isn't that actually worse? I mean, if he said what we think he might have said, I mean, good. I would have defaulted to that. I would sure hope.
It shows he finally has some accomplishments.
Well, that's one thing. Maybe letting the Russians get Nord Stream and maybe, kissing up to Iran and, letting the Chinese use this like the prettiest boy on a pirate ship.
But at least he had a successful constitutional.
But this worked. This went okay. Let's hear it again.
It must be what?
So he said something, and if he didn't say what we think it sounds like, what did he say?
What the hell did Joe Biden say? 800-520-1234. I'd like you to tell me. 800-520-1234. I don't know. If he didn't say that, what the hell did he say? Or did he just make weird noises? What the hell? Was he being dubbed? Is that what was dubbed in a Godzilla movie? I don't know.
No, it was like a Steve Carell scene in Bruce Almighty.
Oh.
I like to be in America. Okay, by me in America. Everything free in America.
For a small fee in America.
Okay.
We are back. Back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program with one of my favorite people, a fellow Pennsylvania homie, because I descend from Pennsylvania. The great Selena Zito. Good morning, Selena.
Good morning, sunshine. How are you?
I'm great. I chose that bumper music for you, though originally I was going to play AC/DC. So you've got many bumper music options. Hey, I just had a chat with someone you know well, Sean Parnell, who's running for Senate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he's really coming around as a candidate. He's very clear, very concise, speaks well, masters the issues. How do you see Sean or whatever Republican the folks in Pennsylvania choose to run faring against this Fetterman guy who apparently has all the money Marin County can offer him?
Well, you know, I think the Senate race is going to be heated and competitive. There are several people in the Republican primary contest already, with Sean is one of them. I do believe Sean will prevail because he not only is he a sharp candidate, as you said, he's been, you know, he made that race. Everyone thought he was going to lose by 10 points or more, you know, like down to 1 point against Connor Lamb for Congress in 2020. But also, I think once he gets to the general, you know, everyone assumes it's going to be John Fetterman. But when Connor Lamb jumps in the 1st of August, I think because both Connor Lamb and John Fetterman are from the west of the state, they're going to be battling out for the it's not going to be as much ideological as geographical. And I would keep my eye on Val Arcouche, who's the County Commissioner in the eastern part of the state, as the one that might prevail in the Democratic primary.
Interesting. So you think Fetterman is not a done deal?
No, I don't think Fetterman's a done deal. And Connor Lamb's going to jump in, and that's going to mess up Fetterman to a certain extent. The establishment Democrats in Allegheny County do not like Fetterman, and they're behind Connor Lamb. And, you know, they look at the former mayor of Braddock as sort of, you know, a carpetbagger because he wasn't from Braddock, and they don't particularly care for him. And so I think there's going to be a real Western battle. And they may, and I'm not saying this will happen, but they may negate each other if it gets too ugly.
Interesting. Do you think there is a realistic chance that the Republicans can hold that Senate seat in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone's talking about, you know, I saw that, I think it was CNN said that that it's the most likely state for a Republican to lose. And I strongly disagree because they're not paying attention to how more Republican Pennsylvania became in 2020. Yes, I know that President Trump lost the state. However, if you look down ballot, well, first of all, the race was extremely close, as it was in 2016. But if you look down ballot, Republicans, shockingly to many of the sort of pundits, did extraordinarily well. They won two out of the three statewide row offices, which they were not expected to win. And not only did they hold the majority in the state Senate and the state House, but they gained seats, and they were supposed to lose the majority.
Interesting. Now, Selena, you're always out there on the road talking to real people, which distinguishes you from pretty much everybody else in the mainstream media. One of the things Sean, who's also a military guy like I am, we're talking about is the phenomenon that we've experienced of people who are generally conservative, generally populist, huge supporters of the military, kind of turning on the military and not recommending that their sons and daughters join because of the woke leadership. Is that something that you're seeing out there when you're talking to folks?
Yeah, I did a story about that. By
horrifying,
way,
huh?
Yeah. If anybody wants to check out my work, you go to SelenaZito.com because I'm on not, as you pointed out, I'm not on social media. But we've had a problem with corporate and corporations and institutions, our cultural curators being, you know, part of the elitist, right? Not having much in common, living and breathing and existing and controlling from the super zip codes in this country. And the military has sort of stayed out of the fray. But within the last couple of years, there has been a trend, not just within the military, you know, like who's the head of the Department of Defense, but looking at the commanders becoming
well,
more
that's very true, lit. Selena Zito. Follow everything Selena does at SelenaZito.com. I'm Kurt Schlichter, Hugh Hewitt radio program. Stick around. We got a lot more to go.
Fighting soldiers from the sky.
We're back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I am Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com, retired United States Army infantry colonel, author of The Split, number one in military fiction. It is my pleasure to bring on a fellow Army homie who I've never met. He was Special Forces. I was Unspecial Forces. I actually, in the Gulf War, actually ran a heavily armed car wash. I mean, I was no Pete Buttigieg. Representative Mike Walsh of Florida 6. How are you doing, Mike?
Hey, doing great. Doing better to wake up to that song.
Oh, you snake eaters. I remember when I had a one of our Guard SF detachments in a brigade I was XO of, and I would take those guys and I'd have them trade me up on pistol qualification. Always shot expert. Just a little refresher stuff. You guys are top notch. Are you still in?
I am still going in the National Guard as a colonel.
Are you a light colonel or a full colonel?
Full colonel.
Excellent.
Full
colonel. Congratulations. More college grad?
I think we have confirmed that I'm the only member of Congress still jumping out of airplanes.
You're the only one on jump status. That's nice. did you attend the Army War College?
I have not. No.
Well, it's a party war college. So, you know, the toga parties are insane. By the way, full disclosure, Hugh Hewitt's son works for Congressman Waltz. We always like to get that out there. But let's get on a little more serious note. Let me ask you a question. When President DeSantis is sworn in at noon on January 20th, 2025, is the first guy he fires Chris Wray or General Mark Milley?
Well, I would actually think since one of his campaign shirts says "Don't Fauci my Florida," I think he's might be looking in that direction first.
So,
right. We'll see. I think that all depends on what former President Trump decides to do, and then I think we're going to have a ripple effect from there.
Well, look, my thought is that the president, who I was a big supporter of, and I went to Nevada with Rick Grinnell to lawyer on his behalf after the disputed election of last November. I kind of I kind of think Donald Trump's probably not going to run for a number of reasons, all of which make good sense. You know, he's getting older, wants to spend time, and I think he'd make a heck of a kingmaker. What do you think? Do you think the president's going to run again?
I think if the decision were today, I'd put my money on he does. He's still fired up, and every time I've seen him, he's got a lot of energy. And what I enjoy in talking to him is just talking about all the things that he got done.
He did, didn't he?
It really is astounding what he got accomplished that people in Washington, D.C. have been opining about and hand-wringing about for decades. I mean, the Democrats had been asking for justice reform for decades, really since Joe Biden's 1994 crime bill. Veterans have been asking for the, for the Mission Act, the Veterans Choice.
Yes.
Where, veterans, instead of driving by 15 perfectly capable private sector doctors to get to a VA hospital where they got to wait in line too long, drive too far, and get substandard care, government-run health care, take your card and go right there to a private sector doctor. We can go, a whole new branch of the military that was badly needed, because I got to tell you, I'd love to come on and talk to you about space at some point, but if there's any brief that makes my hair stand up in the back of my neck, it's the space brief. The Chinese aren't just pulling ahead. They're threatening to lap us up there with the trend lines. So it's just what he got done. I mean, and final point there, how many people realize that it was Donald Trump that put in permanent funding for HBCUs, for historically black colleges? Not Obama, not Clinton. He did. So I think he's really chomping at the bit to get out there and talk about what he got done and contrast that with what's happening in the first 6 months. But past 22, 23, 24, I think you're right. I think he is thinking about his health. And, we'll see.
Well, Congressman Walz, I've got to agree with you. If he was filling out a support form, I don't know. I've been retired 6 years. I don't know if you still have OER support forms, but you list your accomplishments, and and that's what you handed in for your evaluation. And his is extensive, and no one saw that coming. I sure didn't. Before I became a big supporter, I was a Cruz supporter, and I thought, well, this guy, I don't know this guy. And then he started keeping his word. How important? Sure. You're an influential member of the GOP caucus in the House. You've got your finger on the pulse. Has the GOP learned the lesson about keeping promises and how central that is?
Yeah, I think so. I hope so. I don't know, if everyone has, right? There's 213 of us now, and
Adam Kinzinger, achoo! Sorry,
right?
I don't know where that came from.
I certainly hope so. I think we learned a lot. The president, I think fundamentally transformed the party in many ways, not just in substance, whether it was the pivot on China, a working class party. But look at the case in point in moving the embassy in Israel.
Yes.
Every
keeping
single
his
president
word.
Of both sides had promised that, looking, Jewish voters straight in the eye, absolutely promised they would do it, and none of them kept their promise. And Trump did it. And despite the outcries from all the and I'm putting air quotes here, experts, Middle East experts, that the entire Middle East, the bottom would fall out and would explode. We had a couple of days of predictable protests from Hamas, and things were just fine. And the appreciation, I think they still have Donald Trump banners and flags up. In our greatest ally, in the country of our greatest ally in the Middle East, in Israel right now. So I certainly hope so. I know I watched it very closely. I came in 18, and, promises made, promises kept. That's what the people and the people who vote for you expect.
Well, Congressman Walz, one of the important things about Congress used to be the norms. There were just things you didn't do, and you assured minority rights, and we are barely a minority. I think we'll be a majority in 2022. Yep. Just the other day, Nancy Pelosi, forming her kangaroo commission, decided she would pick who the Republicans can and can't have on. So she picked a couple Republicans that she knew would support her, and she denied positions to a couple Republicans that our minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, had picked. How big a breaking of norms is that for the majority leader to pick the minority party's representatives on a committee?
Well, I think, you know, it's just one of a long list of norms that she's broken. And I do think it damages the institution going forward because, you know, I talk to my supporters and folks all the time, and they're demanding that we take up the tactics that they are, that we fight fire with fire. And I think that's something we're going to have to think long and hard about. Like, for example, how she weaponized impeachment. And just turn that into some, you know, you look at the second impeachment trial, and I think this January 6th commission has begun to become the third, even though he's out of office. But the second with him, you know, with President Trump heading out of office, no investigation, but, you know, 3-4 days of what they saw on TV and not understanding any of the backstory. I can tell you those pipe bombs didn't build themselves in the minutes after President Trump's speech, but she's weaponized impeachment. She's taken away procedural things that the minority had, and now this with any kind of select committee. It's incredibly damaging, and we're going to have to decide when we get the majority back, are we going to take the high road for the sake of the institution and country, or are we going to stick it right back to them using these same tactics? And that's going to be, I'll be honest with you, I think that's going to be a tough choice.
Well, I think you're going to have to, Congressman Walz. I think that Kevin McCarthy should get out there and say, Democrat chairman, I'm going to remove you from your committees as soon as I become the majority. You can go to ask Nancy Pelosi about that. After I do that, I will offer a chance to go back to normal, but you are out, and you are out because you have to be punished. You have to learn through pain. That's the price. That's what I would do.
That's add one more to the list, removing people from committees.
Oh, yeah.
For things they said before they came into Congress.
Yes. Look, I'm all for the new rules. I don't care what the rules are. I'm just going to play with them. We can't do these two sets of rules, which, of course, we have with the January 6th defendants who are being persecuted in ways that leftist protesters are not. And I think that's a disgrace. And I would love to see Congress take a deeper look at the conditions they're being held under and the selective prosecutions. If everyone's prosecuted the same, I don't have a beef. If they're not, I got a really big beef.
Well, yeah, that's a long conversation about equal justice, right, in this country right now, which we certainly did not see applied under the presidency of President Trump.
No, we did not, and it is unsustainable. It is unsustainable to have a society where there are two sets of rules, and this business, this is the exception. It's an emergency. We can't. We have to act. No. When it's an emergency, when things are toughest, that's when you fall back on the basic principles. You know that as a combat leader. You fall back on your principles. Congressman Walz.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
We got about 15 seconds. Do you think we could save our military?
I do, but I think a big issue right now is what's going on in our higher education system. The vast majority of our officers are coming out of ROTC, means they're in the regular universities.
Yep.
Conservatives have got to wake up and retake control of our higher education
system. I couldn't agree with you more, Congressman Walz. Thank you very much for appearing on Hugh Hewitt Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you, Kurt. Now, don't go anywhere. It's Hugh Hewitt again. I have pre-taped a couple of things to drop into Kurt's magnificent live show, and I think the studio's not on fire. I think we're off to a good start here. And don't forget, while I'm away, I hope Kurt Schlichter is taking the relieffactor.com there in the studio. I certainly am. I have 2 great weeks with nothing to do except, I got to go over to the Nixon Library a couple of times and go to the beach a lot and take long trundles. And that means it's a relieffactor.com week. It's the height of summer, and my vacation means outdoors in California with the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and relieffactor.com. So I take it every single day, and I will remind you via the magic of audio tape that you're too young to remember Live or Memorex. Via the magic of Memorex, I'll be reminding you about ReliefFactor.com and urging you. Get started before I come back and then send me a note and say, you know, Kurt persuaded me to take ReliefFactor.com. You've been trying for 10 years, but it was Kurt Schlichter that got me to do it. I won't be mad. I'll be happy. I'll be happy for Kurt and I'll be happy for you because I think you'll find it's a wonderful benefit. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Come right back for more of Colonel Kurt Schlichter here on The Hugh Hewitt Show.
Alice gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dead. Out of this.
We are back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I am guest host Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com, retired United States Army colonel. I am a noted trial lawyer, and I am the author of The Split, the latest Kelly Turnbull novel, bestseller. You should check it out. It's right there on Amazon. Go get it. Turning to the Senate. We got to hold it. Heck, we got to take it over. And the most important part of a campaign to win the Senate is to get great candidates. And I think we've got one here. Eric Schmidt, the current Attorney General of Missouri, joins me. Attorney General Schmidt, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. By the way, that may be the greatest bumper music intro I've had with that song. So I appreciate that.
It is right that you praise me. You're lucky I didn't do Joy Division. So we'll just...
I love it. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Great to be with you.
That's terrific. And, of course, as an alumni of Missouri, I lived in near Parkville, Kansas, or Parkville near Kansas City when I was a kid. I was everyone in Missouri is so genuine and open and honest. I felt I had to go to California because I just didn't fit in. look, you're running for Senate there. And tell us how that's going.
It's going great. I mean, we announced Senator Blunt is retiring and announced that in early March, I believe. And we came out of the gate and made an announcement. And our first quarter, we had a record-breaking fundraising quarter. So the support in Missouri has been strong. I've won statewide a couple of times by some big margins. But I think more than anything, people are responding to the idea they want a fighter in Washington, D.C. They want reinforcements to save America, and that's been my record as Attorney General. I mean, we've been as active as anybody pushing back against this radical Biden agenda. We were very active in supporting President Trump and the America First agenda. So whatever the issue was, election integrity, pushing back on this radical immigration policy that Joe Biden is pursuing that's, you know, led to this 21-year surge. We had an argument last week in Texas on a very important case on the Remain in Mexico policy. They're pushing back on the social, quote-unquote, social cost of greenhouse gases policy from Joe Biden. People want fighters, and so we're pushing back on H.R. 1. We're pushing back on PAC in the court. We're pushing back on D.C. statehood, all those sorts of things. Because I do believe that if you look around, it feels like our country and our culture is slipping away, and we need people who understand, who know who they are, lifelong conservatives, and willing to go fight that good fight.
Well, look, Attorney General Schmidt, you're not the only one in this race. And you probably heard the legendary interview between the great Hugh Hewitt and Eric Greitens, who is one of your opponents, former governor, resigned in disgrace. And I got to say, former Governor Greitens did not fare well. I thought his answers were evasive. They were rote and they were frankly, a little disingenuous. Here's my theory. He's a problem candidate. He's got a lot of baggage. He makes it less likely for us to win that seat. What do you think?
Well, look, I've won, as I mentioned, the last two statewide races in 16 and 21 by 18 and 22 points, okay? But the Senate races are always much closer than that. As Missouri has trended from being sort of this bellwether purple state to being a red state, the Senate races are always much closer than that. So, for example, Roy Blunt won by 2.5 points a few years ago. Josh Hawley won by 6 points in 2018. So they're very competitive. And you have to have somebody that can win the primary and win the general with the 50-50 Senate, you know, and the fate of the Senate hanging in the balance. You really need somebody who can go out there and win the primary, win the general. And I think if you look at my record, I'm best positioned to go do that. As I said, people want fighters. They want someone who's not just talking about things, but who's actually going and doing those things. And that's why I think our campaign has a lot of momentum right now. We've got a lot of support, and we're going to work. Nobody's going to outwork me in this race. It's just how I grew up. I grew up in a very blue-collar background. My dad worked 7 days a week in the midnight shift. And so I'm very proud, for example, that the Republican Party right now is the uncontested party for working families. That is something I think that resonates. I think making sure that we have policies that allow people to keep more of what they earn and pursue their dreams is very important. And so I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we hold on to this seat as we take the Senate back in 2022.
Well, Attorney General Schmidt, one of the things that really impressed me about you was, as Attorney General, you're looking to take on big tech and its kind of monopoly, censorship, control of the debate. How's that going?
It's going well. Look, the concentration of power that we see right now with a few big tech companies should cause concern. I don't care where you're at on the political spectrum, but certainly as conservatives, they're trying to censor us. There's no question about it. And it's a sort of elite oligarch mentality that they know better than everybody else. And we've got to break up big tech. So I've been very clear about that. So there's a few buckets. There's the privacy bucket. There's the antitrust bucket. And then there's also this interfering with people's ability to speak their minds in what, you know, is essentially now a virtual town square. And so we're going to be very aggressive with that, and we've got a lot of support. And I think that that is something that is not going away. I mean, I think if people continue to try to communicate online, the idea that, you know, for example, I was the first AG in the country to sue communist China for the coronavirus. Okay, we did that a year ago. We're moving forward on that lawsuit. There's going to be some exciting things coming up with that lawsuit. But talk about the Wuhan lab. I mean, Facebook was censoring all of that a year ago. Now it's starting to come to find out that there's actually some credible information. Even the Biden administration's opened a very short window for that investigation. But nobody put these guys in charge of determining what is, quote unquote, misinformation. It's just very 1984 Orwellian stuff. And I think conservatives, we've got the high ground here. We have to continue to press on these issues related to big tech.
Attorney General Schmidt, let's assume that the people of Missouri make a good choice and don't choose a damaged candidate who could lose us this seat. Because I remember Todd Akin. You know, even from California, I remember Todd Akin and the disaster that was. Let's assume, for sake of argument, that you are the Republican nominee. Who's the Democrat you'd face?
Well, right now, Jay Nixon, the former governor, is thinking about running. You know, and Jay Nixon's won statewide several times. Now, the state has become more conservative, but it just goes to show you that Missouri can be a very competitive state if we don't get this right. And I think people are responding to that as far as my candidacy goes. And so they've got a few other folks in the race, but they've got a couple bigger names like Jay Nixon to kind of waiting in the wings thinking about this. So everything I can do right now is just go out and do my job, communicate with voters, tell them what we're doing, continue to fight the good fight in the AG's office, because the Republican attorneys general, really, or you know this, are kind of the last line of defense right now with all the powers in Washington, D.C. tilted to the left. They've got the executive branch. You know, they've got the House and the Senate. They are trying to, you know, completely steamroll any separation of powers that the founders put in place, with whether it's eliminating the filibuster or adding states to the union. So right now it's the Republican AGs, and I'm proud to be leading that fight. But I want to take that same fighting spirit to the United States Senate. And really, like I said, and I don't mean this just rhetorically, I mean save America. The things that we believe in, that we believe in individual rights, that they came from God, the government's role is just to protect those rights, and that people have a right to pursue their dreams and to create that separation from big intrusive government to the individual. We need people who know who they are, understand, you know, why our republic is unique and why it's the most important experiment in the history of the world. And the Senate's the most important legislative body in the history of the world. And we need fighters to go there to fight for things we believe in.
One thing that many of us here at the Hugh Hewitt radio audience are concerned with is the state of our military. And I think it's just disgraceful what the military leadership has done, getting itself in politics. How can a Republican majority perform the proper oversight on these perfume princes of the Pentagon? Because we haven't won a war in 20 years, And something's got to change because I am sick and millions of us are sick of seeing the lives of our young soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines wasted.
Well, I think one thing is to push back against, you know, just to give you an example, like this poisonous critical race theory is making its way into it's been exposed in the military, certainly in our schools. I think you need people who understand why that's antithetical to who we are as a country, right? That if you believe that the Declaration of Independence is our mission statement, you believe that the Constitution creates these safeguards to protect individual liberty, that federalism both horizontally and vertically protects individual liberty, you understand this nonsense that's being taught right now. I guess to appease companies like, you know, Delta Airlines, which, by the way, last time I checked, you have to have an ID to get on a plane with Delta, but you know, I think there's so much of this kind of trying to genuflect the left. It's got to stop. One, we helped lead the effort against the Department of Education was going to prioritize grant funding for school districts that were applying for grants for teaching critical race theory. We helped push back on that. They actually abandoned that 10 days ago. So I think what's happening, Kurt, is that people across the country understanding what's at stake, they see how the left is playing. They're playing dirty and they're playing for keeps. And we need people who are going to fight back. And I think that's what I'll bring to the Senate.
Well, Attorney General Schmidt, I think you put your finger on it that the Republican Party has changed. And I think there is a new awareness that institutions like the military, like big business, that we once thought of as Republican, if not conservative, have now gone over to the other side. Do you see it that way, too? And we only have about 30 seconds. I guess what I'm asking is, are you conservative woke? Do you know what time it is?
Oh, yeah, brother. I'm with you. Look, like I said, where I came from, I come from regular folks, and that's who we need to be fighting for. I think the era of trying to protect the elites, if that's ever what the Republican Party, it ought to end. We need to fight for regular people, and that's the kind of Republican I'm
outstanding being. Attorney General Eric Schmidt. Check him out. He is a candidate for Senate in the great state of Missouri. I am Kurt Schlichter at the Great Hugh Hewitt Show. Stick around.
I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172.